Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this 10th day of August 2019, and we're going to look at a very controversial jab at old Gregory here, and I think you might enjoy it. I'm entitled this, Why Do You Have to Beg? We'll talk about that, and I'm going to beg right now. Oh my goodness. These radio programs, my TV programs, everything I do from hospice to TV to radio to counseling to everything I do is based on your tax deductible gifts, my service to the community, to humankind. And we need your tax deductible gifts right now. There's more at stake here than you might imagine. And I'm hoping that you will find value in these radio and TV offerings that I give to you, as well as my blogs and everything that you see on the Aspire website. You have to understand, all of this costs money. We have to pay people for this. So anyway, I hope that you will become a sponsor. There are so many benefits if you're authentic, if you're really into this for the sake of awakening, spiritual awakening, and not just a passing fancy. So I hope that you will avail yourself of becoming a sponsor. You can go to the website at aspire.org, and there on the page there you'll see support. It's staring you right in the face, I'm afraid, and you just click on it, and a drop-down menu will ensue, and you can go from there. It will tell you all about Aspire, what I do, where your donations go, and what you get. Message of the month, access to all of my TV discourses, over 122 of them, on all of the subjects that I did during the years, the many years of my TV career. You'll also get the podcast, video cast, and commentaries that I write twice a month. And they're really for a very serious kind of, well, inspection of ourselves, looking at our life from a spiritual point of view. So you have all of this there for you for free. And it's my gift to you. You can use any of this the way you like. You can download it, read it, watch it, listen to it, whatever. It's all there for you if you're there for it. And I hope that you'll become a sponsor. So, begging. This, I'm giggling because, you know, it's something, I've had to do all my career. And I'm going to explain myself a little bit here. Not a lot, but probably enough to help you. Let's look at the word beg, to ask someone earnestly or humbly for something, to beg for mercy. Let's see, what was the other one? To ask earnestly or humbly. That's probably the best to do that. Well, here we are. Most people don't really understand and don't want to give. They just don't. That's not their deal to give at all. So I'm going to answer three questions I got recently. They're pungent, but I like it when people are authentic and show their emotions and show me exactly where they're coming from. It's very powerful. First one comes from Kathy, and she lives in California. That's all she'll say. Is it not humiliating to have to beg for a living? Why do you do it? I don't understand. Kathy. Kathy, I don't see it the way you do. And you're looking at it from a point of view that I don't have anymore. Now, I used to have it. I used to do it all the time. As a teacher, do you think that people are enjoying what I'm offering to you? Do you think that they listen to what I have to say and go, oh, oh, I get it. I get what he's trying to do. No, no. 98% of being a teacher or before people as a, let's say, a quasi-minister, whatever you are, you have to manipulate people. You have to get them to see the meaning of what you're doing and how it relates to them. And you have to get them to like you. That's the first thing that you have to do, is get people to like you. Now, I'm not a likable guy. I'm just not. And I've been this way since I was a kid. I'm not a likable person. I'm not in this to be likable. And I will venture to say there are many teachers in this world who are teaching authentically, who do, like myself, who don't have huge audiences and people agreeing with them and people knocking down their door to be with them because they just simply don't like the persona of that person. Should I change my persona? Well, my persona was built before I even got here to be a teacher. I am not a mamby-pamby kind of guy. I'm not here to kiss your ass and make you think that I like you or that if you do what I say, there's going to be a pot of gold at the end of the spiritual rainbow. And that's the second thing. You've got to promise people they're going to be better off if you do what I say you should do and things like that. I don't do any of that. I don't lie, cheat, manipulate. I just tell it like it is. Here it is. If you're a turkey, you're a turkey. And you can get out of that turkey-ium, but you've got to want to get out of it with all your heart, soul, and strength. And I often feel that, you know, if people really listen to the teachings of Buddha or Jesus or Lhasa, they would be so turned off and so overwhelmed and so angry. I had one student say to me recently after a retreat we had in July, I realized that after 19 years of being with you, I haven't learned a single thing. Now, that's a powerful admission. I did not take that as an insult. I took that as great strength to be able to say something like that, great courage. And I would agree with this person, and I would say that most of the people that sit around me in retreats would probably be in the same category. They don't know their ass from a hole in the ground when it comes to something spiritual. I'm not teaching here, Kathy, something popular. So you're asking me, why is it not humiliating to have to beg for money? No, it's humiliating to you because it shows the fact that I have to do it shows the decline of not only our society, but our culture and our country. And it's a terrible thing because the humiliation you think I'm feeling, which I'm not, is something that is occurring in you. It's humiliating to you because you know full good and well inside you, you don't give a damn about your inner life at all. You can't appreciate the beauty that lives inside you. You can't appreciate the magnificent majesty of love that lives within you. And you don't care if it's there or not. All you care about is a comfortable place to live, having nice clothes, or at least clothes, transportation, friends, family, and that's about it. And entertainment. I'm sorry. You got to have a lot of entertainment. You have to be amused constantly. And I am not one of those kinds of people. So when I am teaching here, I am a dinosaur, Kathy. I am just strictly a dinosaur. I roam a world that has long since gone. It's a world where people like Dr. King and Bobby and Jack roamed, where Anwar Sadat roamed, where Socrates roamed, Jesus, Buddha, Lao Tzu. We live in another part of the jungle. And if you really listen to their teachings, they weren't popular, they weren't comfortable, they didn't teach anything that most people found value in. And most of the people I just mentioned were killed for what they were doing, which was to serve humankind in the most unique way. They were killed. Now, I haven't been killed yet, but at the end of my time in Escondido teaching formally, all these people would come, and I was getting death threats constantly. I had to wear a bulletproof vest. And I had the police there, undercover agents all around. We were getting threats on the congregants and all of that. And I decided, you know, this isn't good for anybody. And I'd rather go and teach people who really cared. Let's see who cares. And I have a wonderful way of weeding out the insincere. And that's what I did. I deliberately weaned them out to see if there was anyone there who really wanted to know. I had to find out for myself. I had to have that direct experience. So, you know, is it humiliating to beg for money all the time and remind people to become sponsors and stuff? No. But here's the deal. Kathy, I don't know how long you've been listening to Aspire or watching the TV programs, but for those of you who take and do not give for your taking, there is a karma for that, my darlings. And I don't know how it manifests or what it does. I know it is true in my life. I always give thanks wherever there is the possibility of it. And knowing the Gregory as I know him, he's no different than you, Kathy, or anyone else. He would love to get away with the mischief of probably not giving. Although Greg was always pretty much a giver, even when he was a kid. So this is foreign to my nature, but there you are. I am. You know, take what you want. Don't give back. Don't do what you want to do, Kathy. It'll all come back to you. As you give, so shall you receive, said Jesus. And I believe he was pretty right on that subject. But please remember, all great teachers are either ignored or killed. I don't know if I'm a great teacher. I don't even think in terms like that, but I do know this. When I'm at a retreat or a workshop and I'm working with people, or I'm on TV or I'm here on radio, and there is something that needs to be said, and for the sake of awakening, I'm going to say it, whether you think it's good or bad or right or wrong. It doesn't make a lot of money. It turns a lot of people off. They get afraid. They get angry. They get insulted. And they walk away, and they don't know what they've walked away from their entire life. They really don't. They've got it all propped up in their brain that, you know, Greg is bad and they know better and all of that. But time always tells. There you are, Kathy. I don't mind the humiliation at all. I do welcome being humbled. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one from Thomas, and he lives in Colorado. Do you feel like a has-been in this world because nobody gives to you, Thomas? Thomas, I don't think of myself at all. I mean, I don't think of Greg. Greg seeps in there here and there, and he gets, you know, oh, shucks, or gee whiz, or all of that. But I had my time in the 80s and 90s where I was not a has-been. But what I saw was when you are popular, and I was winning Telly Awards and Emmys, I was looking at it from the point of view of, where is this leading me? I had an offer many, many years ago to go and do the whole TV bit all over the country, and I just didn't want all of that craziness. People thought I was foolish for turning that down, but I couldn't do it. I don't want to be a relic of the ego, and I am certainly don't want to be very popular, which I have achieved, because in that popularity, you don't serve people. People who are really popular don't tell the truth. You can't tell the truth. All those big congregations and everything can't tell the truth. You just remember Shuler, that whole thing. Where is the Crystal Cathedral these days? Well, it all fell apart because it was built on the house of cards of personality. His son took it, tried to take it over. That failed because he wasn't, you know, into it really like his father was. And now it belongs to the Catholic Church, I'm told. So there you are. That's what happened to that. Do you remember all the other ones? Jerry Falwell, that whole thing. Moral Majority, where are they now? Where's the PTL Club? Where are they now? They had their time. I was amongst all of that in the genre of what I call religious entertainment. And I that wasn't my goal. My goal, if there was one, was to say the things that were authentic and gave authenticity to people's lives, no matter what the price was. Socrates had this. You should go watch A Life Worth Living. Thomas, it will help you understand a little bit where I was coming from about Socrates. Jesus was killed for exactly the same thing. It goes on and on. The human mind, the human stain of humanity all over the world is not interested in spiritual awakening. Not at all. They don't want any of it. Why? Because it gets in the way. It's like, you know, an inconvenient truth, Al Gore's thing. Was he wrong? Absolutely not. Did anybody listen to him? Absolutely not. People shunned him, made fun of him, said all sorts of ugly things about him. But was he right? Oh, absolutely. And I knew it then, and a lot of us knew it. But how do you get the American public on your side to do anything out of inconvenience, you know? You don't. They aren't going to change. People don't change. There was an article written recently, I was reading it on the internet, where this guy practiced mindfulness. And he practiced it to a certain degree, and then he started to realize he missed all of the drama and all of the emotionality and all the other stuff that makes for craziness. And he went back to his old ways. He couldn't take being mindful. It was too much. He was missing too much drama out of his genetics and his DNA. So he went right back to the way he was. I couldn't believe it as I read it. You see, Americans don't want liberation. People think that you can be free via government, and you can't. You're free only from within yourself, how you move towards love, the great love of your heart, the real, authentic heart. So there's really nothing you can do to help people when they are stuck on themselves and they don't really want to understand the way, the truth, and the light. They really don't. They just want to, you know, slog along in this lifetime, getting as much as they can, scratching those little lotto tickets and thinking maybe they'll be rich one day. And that's the end of that. And my message is about responsibility and discipline. Just like Al Gore was talking about in, you know, An Inconvenient Truth, we have to be disciplined and we have to look at this world from the point of view that we have a responsibility towards it, just like we do our lives. But do we want to hear that? Absolutely not. No, we don't want that. We want the government to do it, or we want other people to do it. And we'll be happy living from the strip malls of our minds and living off of the collective unconscious, then that'll be the end of that. No, I don't feel like I has been at all. I has been like anyone else. I has been this and I has been that, but I don't think in terms of that. I think in terms of the essential message that is very important, that maybe precious few, maybe only one or two or three of you can ever hear. And if I can reach that kind of person, I am very grateful. There you are, Thomas. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Jesse. He asked me, let's see, maybe you're over exaggerating your importance. That is why we don't give, because you exaggerate how important your message is, Jesse. Jesse, I hope I don't. If I do, you need to forgive me. You do. But you see, it means so much to me. Spiritual awakening means so much to me because there is a great part of me that understands this and has experienced this awakening. It is all about love, a love that most people just simply do not understand, do not get. And why don't they get it? Well, because they're too busy trying to get whatever else they want. And because they're so busy doing that, we miss. We miss the meaning of ourselves. We miss the meaning of our life. We miss the meaning of everything that is important. Do I overestimate it? I don't put enough fear into it, maybe. Maybe I don't. What would it take you to give? Huh? What would it take you? I had one guy who was criticizing me, you know, saying, you've got to figure this out. After 30 years, you're always begging. You got to figure this out. No. He suggests I get a professional in here. Yeah, right. Yes, I'm going to manipulate you professionally. He doesn't even see that that would be counteractive to what I'm doing. Counterculture to the spirituality I'm trying to teach you. Yes, my work is based on gratitude. It's based on a certain form of intelligence that people have to have. This intelligence isn't common. This intelligence isn't, you know, about you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It's not about any of that. It is about a much bigger picture. And because most people are not privy to any bigger picture at all, they miss. And they think that maybe I'm just pulling your leg or not. I'm just a con guy or I'm just like anyone else, a religious guy. And I'm not. I offer you the alternative to conventional thinking and religion, and come to find out in this world that we're in now, this new world where millennials rule, millennials who have taken out big department stores and don't care about government and allow government to run the way it does, and millennials and Gen Xers and even the Gen Yers and all of them, they don't feel like they have any future, any hope for a future. They base everything on, we'll never own a house, we'll live in a very, dilapidated environment, and my generation handed that to them. And that would all be probably true. And I don't have any misgivings about it. That, I'm sad to say, is true. But you can't just sit there and die and cave into it. You've got to find meaning in your own life. You've got to find substance in your own living. And if you're going to die due to environment or whatever, die consciously, live consciously, do everything you can to let love live you. And that's my motto. And if that isn't good enough, if that doesn't get your crank your and stoke your engine, then what would? There's nothing I could say. For those of you who support this program, you help me go to hospice and do a lot of things for the community and those who are very ill and sick who need help. And you're a part of that. you're a part of that goodness through your giving, and you're just as much there as I am. I gotta go. Thank you for your question, Jesse. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Thank you for listening. I got another corker for you tomorrow. Let's kick Greg's butt, huh? Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.